by Vera Prasad, and he's talking about high temperature stress and pollen viability.
Good afternoon. I'll be talking about the effects of high temperature stress on pollen viability and potential role of reactive oxygen species and phospholipids. The outline of the presentation is going to be something like this. We'll first, I'll give you a brief overview of effects of high temperature stress, what it does to harvest index of most of the grain crops, and then we'll talk about high temperature stress effects on temperate sorghum hybrid, looking at the effects on pollen viability, reactive oxygen species, and phospholipid profiles, and we'll do the same thing on soybean, and then we'll conclude. This is the first one. Over the last multiple years, I've worked on several grain crops, like rice, wheat, sorghum, maize, kidney beans, mung beans, peanuts, and soybeans. I'm going to summarize that in this slide. Here shows the crop responses to high temperature stress. And this is data on harvest index and its relation to mean air temperature. That is the daily temperature average of both day and night temperatures. And this is the first panel shows you for dry bean and rice, and then second panel for soybean, peanut, and sorghum. As you can see that for most of the crops, when you go beyond an optimum temperature, the response is very negative. So you have a decreased harvest index in dry bean when it goes beyond 23, in case of rice when it goes beyond 27, and for soybean when you go beyond 29, and then peanut decreases from 26, and then temperate sorghum hybrid also decreases if you go beyond 26. So most of the time you see a negative response of high temperature stress on harvest index. And most of that harvest index decrease is coming from negative effects on grain yield, and that you see that negative effects on grain yield because under high temperature stress you have lower number of grains. And here is an example of sorghum where you see the effects of high temperature stress on seed set. You have a lot of unfilled grains under high temperature stress and infertile florets. So that's the main thing affected by high temperature, is lower seed set leading to lower grain number. And the lower grain number is probably a result of lower pollen viability. Here you have a sorghum plant exposed to high temperature stress at 36-26, 40-30, 44-34. This is daytime maximum and nighttime minimum temperatures. And duration of the stress is about 10 days. And 10 days before, the initiation of stress was about 10 days before panicle emergence. So you see, most of the time you see lower pollen viabilities as indicated by unfilled or less charged pollen grains. And at 44-34, you don't have much pollen and none of it is viable. Not only that, but you also have lower pollen germination after it pollinates. Here you have 30-22, you have a nice long pollen tubes, whereas 38-28, you don't have that much of pollen germination. So together, both of these leads to less seed set and therefore lower seed numbers. So what we were interested to see was, again, to reconfirm that in a different environment, and also see what is the mechanisms responsible for loss of pollen viability. And we are particularly interested on two of the things, reactive oxygen species and phospholipids. And we also looked at just the daytime temperature increase and just the nighttime temperature increase and combination of both. The first I'll talk about sorghum. Temperature and stress at booting, both high day and high nighttime temperatures. So we had the optimum temperature at 30-20, and high day and night temperatures was 38-28. Start of the stress was booting, and then duration of stress was 21 days. And we used a short stature temperate sorghum hybrid DK28E. The responses may be different if you are using a tropical sorghum or any other sorghum which is not a hybrid. If inbred lines are plant introductions, the responses may be different. So here's the data on pollen germination percentage. This is in vitro pollen germination. So with a high temperature, you saw a tremendous decrease in pollen germination percentage. And on the other hand side, we saw that the reactive oxygen species, particularly O2 minus and H2O2 minus, were tremendously increased under high temperature stress. And this, we quantified the reactive oxygen species both in terms of actual amount and also using a fluorescent stain, because actual amount is very difficult to measure. You need a lot of pollen grains. So we're looking at a surrogate method of using this live green stain. With the more the intensity of the green color, the more the reactive oxygen species. So that's the, how we define our reactive oxygen species level here. And of course, pollen germination was an in vitro pollen germination data. So you have a decrease in pollen germination percentage and increase in reactive oxygen levels in the pollen grains. And then in addition to that, we also saw that the membranes of the pollen grains were damaged. Again, we used a surrogate method of Cytox green stain. The darker the stain, more the membrane damage. So there was an increase in membrane damage under high temperature stress. So that was at the time of booting, and we wanted to see what it happens if the stress was given at flowering. And in this case, we only looked at effects of high nighttime temperatures. So we had the same daytime temperatures, 32 degrees Celsius in both the cases, but in optimum we had 22 nighttime, and high temperatures we had 28 degrees of high nighttime temperature, and stress was imposed during flowering. Duration of stress was 10 days, and we used the same sorghum hybrid used previously. And the data is a little similar. We have a decreased in seed set, percent seed set. High nighttime temperature decreased the percent seed set, and it resulted in lower seed numbers, and therefore we saw lower total seed yield. Yield per panicle was also lower. The main cause was the less number of grains per panicle. Pollen viability again, it was decreased, and then in vitro pollen germination was also decreased in the high nighttime temperatures, and both were to a similar extent. And this was this data on pollen viability was measured after the florets were exposed to 7 days of stress. So we had the flowering and we exposed the plants for 7 days. At the end of the seventh day, we collected the pollen and measured this viability and germination. And similar story on reactive oxygen species using fluorescent strain. The high nighttime temperatures, tremendous increase in reactive oxygen species content. And then pollen membrane damage was also very high. And we wanted to see, okay, in addition to that, is there any difference in the phospholipid composition of the pollen? So we did a complete lipid analysis in the pollen grains. And we found that there's a huge differences in various phospholipids. Some of them were upregulated, some of them were downregulated. But the two important ones are the MDDG, which was decreased under high nighttime temperatures, and the phosphatidic acid, which was also decreased under high nighttime temperatures. And both of these have a direct relevance to the orientation of pollen grains and its ability to germinate and the membrane damage of the pollen. So those two are pretty important. And there are other things which indirectly influence that membrane damage and orientation of the pollen grains. And particularly, as I said, the phosphatidic acid was decreased under high nighttime temperature. This decreased phosphatidic acid can actually tip the polarity of the pollen grain, so it is not able to germinate properly and fertilize. And then again, the unsaturation levels of both DDDG and MGDG was significantly influenced. In general, we saw that there was an increase in unsaturated levels of the phospholipids. And typically, when you have more unsaturation of the phospholipids, they are prone to ROS damage. So reactive oxygen species can damage that pollen more than the others, which leads to leakiness and which we believe might be responsible for lower pollen viability. So that was the story on sorghum, and we're going to look at the similar effects on soybean. In this case, at flowering, again, combination of high day and nighttime temperatures. In this case, we have the optimum temperature set as 28.18, and then high temperature stress was 38 daytime maximum and 28 nighttime minimum. The stage at which the stress was imposed were R2, flowering, and then duration of stress was 2 weeks, about 14 days. And we saw a significant increase in the floral obsession under high temperature stress. In both experiments, all of these were done in two repeats. So we have two experiments to show for the sorghum data and also for the soybean data. So in both experiments, we saw that floral obsession was increased, and then pod set, and the percentage of flowers which were converting into pods was decreased under high day and night time temperature set. And pollen viability, again decreased, pollen viability was decreased at high temperatures, and in vitro pollen germination was also decreased. So both of these led to decreased seed numbers and therefore seed yields. So sometimes I think the staining and actually measuring in vitro pollen germination is difficult for some of the crops. So we were also looking at if there is any anatomical changes in the due to high temperature stress. So here you have an optimum pollen. I'm just showing you the wall of the pollen grain here, and an axene wall. And a high, this is optimum temperature, high temperature. You have the thickness of the axene wall was much higher under high temperature stress. And the tapetum tissue, which is the one which provides nutrition to the developing pollen grain, was damaged, and you have a leakiness. It's a disintegration of tapetum tissue. So if you're not able to germinate the pollen, indirect method is to look at the anatomy of it. You might be able to find some responses there. Not only that, we also saw that the shape of the pollen grains was really affected, and dense cytoplasm. So all of these, the clear anatomical effects of high temperatures on pollen anatomy, and all of these can lead to decreased pollen germination and seed set. So now we wanted to see whether the high daytime and nighttime temperature does the same effect, because oftentimes you see in the literature saying that nighttime temperature is more important. So, and it's been proven for rice and wheat, but we wanted to see whether there is any, especially on pollen, if nighttime temperatures are more stressful or daytime. So this experiment was done with three treatments again. We had optimum day and night, and then we only had high daytime temperature, 9 degrees increase, same nighttime temperature. And the third treatment was the same daytime temperature as optimum and high nighttime temperature. So we wanted to see if the effects were similar or different. And then stage of stress was the same, and duration of stress was also the same. So here the open bars are the optimum temperature, green are the nighttime temperature, and the blue are the daytime temperature alone. We really didn't see any differences between the combined daytime or nighttime temperatures. So both had decreased the pod set almost to a similar extent. And even the seed yield per plant was also decreased to a similar extent. So it's for this case, for this genotype on soybean, it's difficult to say that nighttime was more damaging than the daytime or not. And pollen viability was also equally affected by both high day or high nighttime temperatures. And so was the case with in vitro pollen germination. So again, as we look for sorghum, we also wanted to see if there is any differences in the phospholipids in the pollen grain. Again, there was tremendous amount of differences. I'm only showing you about five of those. Again, there are several phospholipids which the lipidomics profile gives. But again, in this case, we saw an increase in MGGG under both nighttime and daytime temperatures. And then, but the phosphatidic acid was decreased under both high nighttime and high daytime to a similar extent. So again, the story is the same as in case of sorghum. Here you have the phosphatidic acid decreasing with increasing daytime temperature or increasing nighttime temperature. And then unsaturation level of the various phospholipids profiles was also increased under high nighttime or daytime temperature. So across both the species, we have seen that high temperature stress, either season long, decreases the grain harvest index and that harvest in, this decrease is mainly due to the grain yield decrease. And short periods of high temperature stress can also cause decrease in seed set. And that seed set is mainly, loss of seed set is mainly due to decrease of pollen viability. And we believe that pollen viability decrease is a combination of both biochemical and anatomical effects. Biochemical effects mostly related to increased reactive oxygen species in the pollen grain and unsaturation of the fatty phospholipids and also the decreased phosphatidic acid, both of them leading to lower pollen viability. And now I think what we're doing is we're trying to simulate, this was under the controlled environment conditions, we are trying to simulate these under the field conditions and see if we found the same type of responses. In addition, we are also looking if there is any genetic variability for these traits so that we can use them as a screening tool and maybe come up with some lines which have potential for breeding high temperature tolerance in these two grain crops. And with that, I'll conclude. And I want to acknowledge my colleagues, Don Boyle, who did most of the reactive oxygen species analysis, and Ruth Welty and Mary Roth of the Lipidomics Lab. They did the lipid profiling. Bill Shapock is a soybean breeder who gave the germplasm and sorghum germplasm by Tesfaye Tesso. Jiming is our geneticist. And of course, it's a combination of funding sources which are represented here. I thank you for giving me an opportunity, and I'm happy to glad answer any questions you might have. Yes. Yes. I think we found clear. Yeah, the question was, is unsaturation of phospholipids in the pollen grains and reactive oxygen species are related, or is there any effect of those? Our data suggests that yes, because we see the decrease in phosphatidic acid and unsaturation, and only in those cases we saw increase in reactive oxygen species for both the crops. So I think there is a relationship between the phospholipids, and the reason is, again, because you have leakiness of the membranes, and then combination of reactive oxygen species can also cause leakiness and damage the membrane. So there may be some relationship there. Yes. Yeah, again, I think with the reactive oxygen species went up under high temperature stress, and then that reactive oxygen species usually causes the membranes to be damaged and they become more leaky. Under those situations, the unsaturation levels of the various phospholipids can also influence the leakiness, so it's a combination of both. And this is in pollen grains. Most of the data which you might have seen is probably on the vegetative tissue in the leaves, but there is very little evidence of either reactive oxygen species quantification or phospholipid quantification in the pollen grains itself. Yes, Dr. Hammer. Yes, that's fine. Yeah. Yeah, that's right, yeah. That's right, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah. That's right, yeah. I think the shortest duration we went on sorghum was 7 days. That was the shortest duration of stress which we gave, and we saw these effects. But in my experience, we worked quite a bit on peanuts, and we decreased that window to as much as 6 hours or one day. But if you have a one day of high temperature stress for the first part of the day, then you can see loss of pollen viability and decreased seed set from that particular flower. So I think it might be the same here. If you have one day of high temperature stress, and that temperature stress could be either when the pollen is developing at the microsporogenesis stage, there you probably might need a little longer duration of stress, but at the time of anthesis, one day is enough to knock that florets down. And typically you may have about 7 to 10 days of flowering period, and then you have a 10 days before where pollen viability and microsporogenesis is occurring. So in this 20-day window, if you have 2 or 3 days of spikes, you probably lose those flowers. Yep. All right, thank you.